And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, I'm Ali Shorten and welcome to Shout Out. And who the hell are you?
Darling, it's me. It's Lara. Have you missed me? Today on the show, we'll have Daryl Bullock.
Author and Shout Out Award winner, Steffi catches up with him. And Alid's here.
Woo! Bristol Pride has announced its first acts. We will be talking drag.
All that and the lovely Lara and a lot more. Today, ooh, right here on Shout Out.
I forgot all of it I came in at. No, but I still got it.
You got that.
I still have the flavour. I have the spice.
Hello.
How
are you?
Good.
It's been a while.
It's been a ruddy long time, hasn't it? Have you been busy? Like almost 9 months. Yeah.
Has it really been 9 months since you were last on air?
A long time.
Really?
Yeah. It was like from, I think I haven't come since like I'm finishing my PhD.
Wow.
Yeah, oh, now well, it's finally the door on is closed. Yeah, thank gosh. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, like just being out and about trying to like get back to my new old self, I really don't know. But like, yeah, I've been in survival mode for the last 2 years doing a PhD, so now I'm done. Yeah.
And are you here in Bristol now or are you over in London?
Well, no one should know, but I live like close by. Yeah, just because I needed to keep my community around me, so I'm very happy still be here.
So does this mean we might see a bit more of you then, if you're local? Pardon? Might see a bit more of you if you're local?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you wish, Andy. I know how much you've missed me. Cried yourself to sleep at night.
Yeah, the show's so boring and
when
you're not here.
When is she coming back?
I have to put up with Steph. You know?
To be fair. I'll put up with Steph any day. It's you.
Hello, Terry. Hello, Steph. How are you both?
Hello. I put that author Shout Out Award winner after my name. Uh-huh. And it meant something completely different.
Award winner Steffi.
Rammer, guys. You know? So how have you guys been? What have you been up to? Doing
just
a great show.
Yeah. I have got one announcement for you at the moment. One that you'll remember very carefully because you remember blowing all the balloons up for it. But the Shout Out Listeners Awards return later this year.
No. Once every 2 years, Andy?
Well, it is 2 years.
Shush.
Yes. Yeah, they'll be presented
in 23.
We presented them in 23, so these ones will be presented in 25. So they open November this year.
Right. Oh, you ready? Yeah. I'm ready.
But it means that we are open to sponsorship for the awards.
Oh.
So if you would like to get involved and help us pull off some amazing awards for some very deserving people, they're all open for sponsorship, and there is a pack available and various ranging in prices from very small amounts through to full on sponsorship. Of the whole thing, if you so wish. If you would like to get in touch, just email us studio@shoutoutradio.lgbt or reach out on our socials.
Please do. I would love to blow up more balloons.
Yes, yeah. Well, we thought we'd buy even more this year for you, but we might get more than one pump, so it doesn't take the entire
day. Better get more than one pump, Andy. I can't pump all that stuff out
To be fair, it looked really good, didn't it?
It looked excellent. Your little minions doing it, you know?
To the point where, do you remember at the end of the night, people were just ripping chunks of it out to wrap around and walk out the menu?
Yeah. You know?
We could save a fortune on pumps. Just use theirs. She's full of hot air.
Yeah. Her and Lara together. I mean, they'd be done in 5 minutes.
Wow.
I have no good comeback right now, but, you know.
You'll keep.
This is what happens when you don't do a show for 9 months. You lose form.
Excuse me about losing form. My wit is always top notch, but everything I can think of saying isn't appropriate for air. So, you know.
And are you looking forward to Bristol Pride?
I actually am.
Are you joining us for Bristol Pride this year?
I am.
You are marvellous.
Last year was terrible in terms of the weather.
It was.
Trust it. To be the time that I step out, spread my wings, you know, I'm in the main area and it rains.
I always look forward to the wonderful things you do with your hair.
Oh,
because you always do something amazing. I think I've seen you rainbow 1 year. Blue and gold 1 year.
Yeah.
And it always looks absolutely stunning. Yeah. So I'm just jealous because I don't have hair.
I know, for a long time, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm old, you know. I'm 46 in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
So anyway, Alid's here. He's in the background. He'll be telling us, I'm assuming it's cabaret stage we're talking to you about.
I can't wait. The drag acts this year, Slay.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Alid is the master of drag.
Mistress and master.
So I'm sure we will find out a lot more about it. But in the meantime, Steph's been talking to a very dear friend of ours, because without him, we probably wouldn't have Shout Out, would we?
That's true.
It's the lovely Daryl Bullock. So have a listen to this.
Now, our next guest has been on Shout Out many times before, but I just need to introduce our next guest, because this is cracking. Now, it's from their own biography on their website. They're described as a veritable bard of the bent, broken, and brought. I just love that. Now, I'm going to tell you a few of the titles that our guest has written, and then you'll probably be a couple of steps in front of me. The World's Worst Records. Florence Foster Jenkins, The Life of the World's Worst Opera Singer. David Bowie May Be Gay. See, you got it now. You're there. The infamous Cherry Sisters. The Velvet Mafia, the gay men who ran the swinging 60s. Everyone knows that gay men ran the 60s. the fashion and the makeup just said it all. Daryl Bullock, welcome back to Shout Out.
Hi, Steph. It's lovely to be back again. Thank you very much for having me. You didn't mention that David Bowie Made Me Gay was a Shout Out Readers Award winner.
It certainly was. Well, you just told everyone it was. And
very proud of that.
Well deserved as well, because if you haven't read it, dear listener, it's a cracking book. But I also quite liked the opera singer. Because that was made into a film, wasn't it?
Well, it was, but it wasn't my film, unfortunately, so I didn't make lots of money from it. This is going back about almost 10 years now. I heard they were making a film about Florence's life, and I knew there was very little in print about her. There was actually nothing at the time available to kind of tell her story. So I approached a contact of mine at the Sunday Times and suggested they might like an article about this incredible woman. But they decided not to go with it. But at the same time, I was approached by a publisher who asked me if I could turn what was just was going to be a feature article into a full-length biography. And that's kind of how I moved from writing for Bristol-based magazines like Venue and The Spark into writing books full-time.
Ah, so you're writing full-time.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever thought about sort of expanding out and writing plays and film scripts, or does that not attract you?
Well, funnily enough, one of my books, The Velvet Mafia, which is the one you mentioned, which is the one about the gay guys who ran the swinging 60s, has been optioned for television, and we're still kind of waiting to see how that progresses. And part of that deal was that I would be taken on as a script consultant. So I would actually get to work on scripts for the TV series. And it kind of made me think when I was writing the following book, which is my most recent, Queer Blues, how I might try and write that in a style that might work for TV, if you see what I mean. You know, hopefully it's written in a very episodic kind of style. So although I've not really thought about writing plays or TV works as such, I've certainly started to tailor my work, I suppose, around the thought that it might get adapted.
Do you think the streaming services have sort of upped book sales? I know that sounds a bit odd thing to say, but when you look at Amazon, Netflix and Disney, the big ones, well, and BBC, I guess, Channel 4, another one. I say that because they do an awful lot of screenplays, films based on books, and then you find people want to read the book to see if it's different, or in fact they've read the book first and then get stuck into the film or series. So do you think that that's helped authors?
I think it can do. I think certainly the TV series we were looking at for The Velvet Mafia would probably have been initially made for Netflix, although Netflix have now pulled out of that. So if it gets made, it's probably going to be American money that comes into it. And all the money comes from streaming companies. It all comes from people like Netflix or Sky or anybody like that. I mean, the BBC have got no money, so they can't do it. So it's got to come from independent producers doing things for satellite and and streaming channels. So in that respect, yeah, it definitely helps that there's money there to make the programs in the first place. And then you would hope as a writer that would encourage people who are interested enough in that to then go out and search out your other work.
I am so looking forward. I really do hope that somebody picks up the Gay Mafia. Can you imagine the 60s in 4K HDR? That's going to be one hell of a colourful place.
It's going to be fantastic, and it will happen in some form. I mean, it's a bit of a shame that the original producers, the guys who first took out the option on the story, were looking at making a 6-part TV series, and it looks like the funding isn't there for that. So we're now looking at the possibility of a documentary style program instead. But we'll see what happens. I mean, a drama would have been great. You know, a period drama would have been just fantastic. But I'm still really hopeful that we'll see some adaptation of it at some point coming to your screen in the not too distant future.
Oh, really looking forward to that one, Daryl. So what are you up to now?
Well, as I'm now working on, I'm always working on something. My last book, Queer Blues, came out, I think it was last summer, wasn't it? And that did incredibly well. I'm really, really pleased. It was picked as one of the Guardian's books of the year, which is a lovely thing to hear. And I'm now working on what will be my next book. It's due out next year, and I can't say too much about it, but it's not too far away from what I already wrote, you know, what I've been writing about for years now. So it's about LGBTQ people working in the music industry. This time it's specifically about one person who was very well known in the 1950s and 1960s. So it's more of a biography of one person rather than, say, David Bowie may be gay or the Velvet Mafia, which looks at, you know, a group of people working over a particular time.
Mm. Right. Blue sky thinking now, Daryl.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So a lot of your books are based around music, and I guess the Gay Mafia is about the swinging 60s, was all about music and fashion. So blue sky thinking, what would you like to write, given that you didn't care whether it was successful, it didn't have to be queer related? What would you like to do, given that anything, no boundaries?
I absolutely don't know. And what normally, the way I work, what normally happens is I'm writing something and then an idea pops up that would kind of work for the next book. And I'm usually lucky enough to have my publisher say, that's a great idea, go with it. With this one, with this new one, for example, the idea was there from the Velvet Mafia onwards. It's one of the characters that's featured in that book, and I wanted to expand more on their story. Queer Blues came out of the writing and the research I did over the blues genre for David Bowie Made Me Gay. I don't really know what I'd probably like to continue to work in LGBTQ themes and around the music or entertainment industry. I think probably I might have kind of run out of stuff I can write about in music though. So maybe look at theatre or film and go from there. There are so many fantastic LGBTQ characters that have worked on, you know, on stage or on the big screen, and I think that's probably where I'd like to go next.
Right, my blue sky thinking, if I could just say to you, I would like a book written like, I think the romanticism around the middle 60s, where the pirate radio came along and just destroyed the BBC, Light and the Home Service, Radio Caroline, Big L, Screaming Lord Sutch even started his on one of the forts. There was pirates all around the UK, all beaming into the UK, picking up advertising, picking up listeners by the millions. That was such an exciting part of the 60s. And even if that's not worth a book on its own, please, can you see time and effort to squeeze in to the TV series about the pirates and the impact they had on everybody, queer or not?
Well, I will tell you that certain pirates, certain people who work for the pirate stations, have cropped up in my work previously and are cropping up in the next book, because it's, if you're writing about music in the 60s, you have to write about the pirate stations. You can't, can't ignore how influential, how important they were. And when you're writing about LGBTQ people from the 50s, well, from the 1960s, you've got so many, especially gay, DJs that work for the pirates, that you cannot ignore them and their influence. So they're there, they're being involved. And I think as long as I'm writing about that period and about LGBTQ people in that period, I'm always going to be featuring the pirates in some way. So, yeah.
I'm not going to mention the most famous of those pirates who was gay, just in case you don't.
I'm not writing about Kenny Everett.
Ah, okay.
Kenny's kind of been done. He's kind of, you know, I think he's done.
He was quite a wild personality, wasn't he?
Oh, goodness, yes. And an amazing personality. And I was lucky enough to interview his wife. Yes, Kenny was married once, boys and girls. And I was lucky enough to interview his wife, who was also a singer in the 1960s, for one of my earlier books. Yeah, Kenny's a fascinating character, but he's kind of been written about to death. And there are other people that he was around, including people who kind of mentored his early career, who crop up in my next book. And they're really fascinating. Those early, necessarily closeted LGBTQ people who worked in pirates at the time. Fascinating bunch of people.
Darryl, we've run completely out of time, but I really want to book you to come on as soon as you can let us know all about the next book and it's released. So keep a slot for Shout Out in your calendar, because we'll be coming back at you.
I'd be more than happy to. You know, I'm Rent-A-Gob. I'm more than happy to come down and talk to you about anything.
Yes, I think we can describe you as a radio slut, Darryl.
Yeah, that's a great title. I'm more than happy with that. I'm going to add that to the biography.
Darryl Bullock, thank you for joining us here on Shout Out.
Cheers, Steffi.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's Hold On Me by Ruth Theodore.
That was actually beautiful, Andy.
That's very nice.
Like, compared to your normal, like, list of songs, I actually quite enjoyed that.
I didn't pick that one.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. It's always, every time I compliment a song, it's like, he hasn't picked it, so...
That's not true.
You're trying
at
to be
all.
Really diplomatic there, yeah. Mara.
I mean, it's a little bit true, Andy.
I mean, you like LP. We've got Lost On You coming later on.
No, it's Ez who likes LP.
Yeah, I know, but Laura does too.
Yeah, she does.
So last time I played it, she complimented me, saying it was a good choice of music. That's how I know.
see how he hangs on to this information? Because it's like, oh, she said it was this good this time.
You know, you youngsters are so hard to impress.
I mean, try. Please do try, and I'll let you know.
Anyway, would you like to introduce the news?
I would. Coming up is my star... Terry Star. Hello.
Ah, I like what you did there.
Yeah?
Love it.
Oh, you didn't. I was giving you a little sign. So, yeah, the news is coming up by Harry. Yeah.
It's like right now. Like,
yeah. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. US-based LGBTQIA+ web magazine Them.com reports that the lower house of the parliament in the Kingdom of Thailand has voted by a landslide majority in favour of allowing same-sex marriages in a major development for the LGBT+ communities in Southeast Asia. The House of Representatives passed the legislative reform by 400 votes to just 10 against. The BBC News Channel adds that the bill for change now heads to the National Senate, which must vote on the bill or request further amendments within 60 days, as stipulated by the Constitution. Should the Senate approve the bill, and its members are expected to, it will then be sent to the King for his signature. Now, the left-wing newspaper Socialist Worker was in no doubt this week that the millionaire author Joanne Rowling, who fashions herself J.K. Rowling, is no friend of ordinary people, with her latest remarks about transgender people. about whom she's been running a campaign for some years. The paper says, quote, author Rowling has deliberately intensified the war on trans people after the Scottish Hate Crime and Public Order Act came into operation on Monday the 1st. Rowling posted pictures of 10 high-profile trans people, ridiculed them and denied their status as women. You don't have to think that the act is perfect to recognise that what Ms. Rowling and her Tory supporters are trying to do. They hope to pose as friends of ordinary people whilst ramping up the anti-trans hatred. The paper concluded it's what the Westminster government did last year before when it blocked the Scottish Gender Recognition Reform Bill. LGBT plus newswire Pink News added that Scotland's First Minister, Mr. Humza Yousaf, said that the new hate crime laws would tackle the tide of hatred that has been, quote, far too pervasive in our society. He went on to say that the country has to have a zero tolerance approach to it so it can take strong action. Mr. Yousaf said, I've got every confidence in the police investigating matters of hatred appropriately and, of course, making sure that we also protect freedom of expression so vital to our democracy. And LGBT plus internet commentators also had something to say about Ms. Rowling's outburst. One gay man said, another rant by this judgmental, arrogant narcissist. She doesn't need arresting under the hate crimes. She needs confining in an institution, end quote. May Rood, writing for the web bulletin of LGBT plus magazine Out, has some uplifting words to say about Transgender Day of Visibility after it enraged some people because it happened to fall this year on Easter Sunday. May writes, on one hand, it was hilarious seeing Conservatives get in a tizzy because Easter happened to fall on TDOV this year. It was also a reminder that in many ways, transphobia has gotten louder and worse in the last 10 years. Still, she said, I can't help but feel hopeful. This rise in anti-trans hate seems so much like the last desperate swipes of a cornered animal that knows it's about to die. And as younger generations are getting queerer and queerer, I can't help but have faith. Wikipedia noted that the 1st of April was the anniversary, 23 years ago, of the Kingdom of the Netherlands becoming the first country in the world to permit same-sex marriage. The reform was voted on by the Dutch Parliament the previous November, and the law came into effect from the 1st of April 2001. The Parliament voted by a large majority for law reform, with opposition coming from primarily religious parties, although we should also note that many religious denominations supported the change, particularly independent denominations with progressive interpretations of scripture, such as the Old Catholic Church of the Netherlands, which split from the Roman Catholic Church in the 18th century and considers itself to be the real Catholic tradition in the country. The reform was also supported by the majority of the Dutch population, with opinion polls showing that around 95% of people today support the right of same-sex couples to marry. On April the 2nd, Pride in Gloucestershire issued some exciting news to the local LGBTQIA plus community. They say the European Pride Organisers Association have announced the list of cities bidding to host EuroPride in 2027. Joining Pride in Gloucestershire are Turin in Italy, Torremolinos in Spain and the city of Vilnius in Lithuania. EuroPride is licensed to a different pride or host city each year, and this year it takes place in June in Thessaloniki in Greece. Pride in Gloucestershire spokesperson Richard Stevens said 2027 will mark 15 years since EuroPride was last held in the UK. The UK, once known for its LGBTI plus credentials, has seen a decline not only in its international standing but in community confidence and fear from a rise in hate crime. With Gloucestershire's reputation for hosting world-class events, we feel that we will be able to deliver a EuroPride with the impact that empowers the community, not just in the UK but across the whole of Europe. Bristol independent bookstore Storysmith on Bedminster's North Street says it has available exclusive signed copies of a new book on the black gay male experience. In this landmark work called Revolutionary Acts, Jason Okundai meets elder generations of black gay men and finds a spirited community full of courage, charisma and good humour, hungry to tell about its past of nightlife, resistance, political fights, love, loss, gossip, sex and vulgarity. Through their conversations, he seeks to reconcile the black and gay narratives of Britain, narratives frequently cleaved as distinct and unrelated. For the website of the bookshop, you can find it at storysmithbooks.com. And finally, ESC Radio, the web-based radio platform that plays the music of the vast Eurovision Song Contest archive, reports Quote, Ollie Alexander continues to gear up to represent the United Kingdom for this year's 68th Eurovision Song Contest in Malmö, Sweden. He joins forces with Benjamin Ingrosso of Sweden for a new version of the latest single, Kite. The track is available on all digital platforms. Incidentally, you can hear Eurovision Song Contest Radio by searching for ESC Radio Eurovision through all good search engines. Well, that's it for Shoutout News this week. Why not keep up to date with LGBTQIA+ happenings via our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt, and also visit queerpodcasts.net for hundreds of LGBTQIA+ podcasts to listen to and enjoy. For Shoutout News, I've been Terry Stunnell.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The lovely LP and Lost on You. Lovely track, that one. So, Steph was just saying off air, is it a dance version of it?
Well, you could dance to it, I guess, but it's just a speeded up version with a nicer middle section.
Yeah. Did you just drop something?
It was the
I got overexcited by what Stephanie was saying.
Oh, you were
saying.
Dancing and you pulled them.
Yeah, exactly. I was a bit too big. Well, I don't know if you could dance to that song, but like you definitely...
You probably danced to the dance version.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was just imagining the dance version. You know,
I didn't know there was one until Steph just said it. I'll have to get it and slot it in one week and compare it.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
See if you dance on the table to it.
I mean, dancing on the table is a bit much, isn't it, Andy? Like, I am now 29.
Oh, no.
I can kneel now for my knees, you know, like the dancing on the table is gonna, you're gonna have to put on some Beyonce for that. I don't know, yeah. LP, you're not quite getting me up there yet.
So Beyonce, is it?
She does a lot of things to me. So yeah, like Beyonce or like something like from the 90s, I'd be up on the table.
No.
You wouldn't even need to ask. No. I'd just be up there.
Alib, what's Beaver's favourite song to dance
to?
Ooh.
Girls Aloud.
Oh really?
Which one though? Sound of the Underground.
Well, that's the classic. That's the Christmas debut number one. not that I know anything about them, but the majority of their back catalogue.
Okay, they have a back catalogue. That was the wow. God. Oh, dagger eyes.
Not too rude.
All right.
Wow.
Come on down, love.
And I will see you soon.
Oh, I used to be their friend, now I'm not.
You see, you're not 21 anymore, you see.
No, I'm fundamentally aware of that, Andy. Thanks. But like, yeah, no, I didn't know they had a back catalogue.
They have many an album. That is
many an album.
Many an album.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like Beyonce.
I'm seeing them twice in the same week.
Oh god.
Really?
Oh, I'm
going
to be
going.
Buzzing off my tits. No, they. Like stopped, and then it's like their 20th anniversary.
Oh, right, sounds a bit like Steps.
I mean, all you need to do is have 2-3 hits, and you can ride that train. And we know.
So, like, they haven't toured since the 10 album, which was like their greatest hits, which was their last tour, and they haven't toured since then. And now they're coming back in like memory of Sarah Harding because she sadly passed away. So there's only going to be 4 of them, not 5. And they do it like they sold out
really?
Quick. Oh god, yeah, they added extra dates and everything. So I'm seeing them in Birmingham. I got VIP for that. And then I'm seeing them in London in the same week. So it's like a Wednesday and a Saturday, and I was
just
like
a little bit of a fan then.
And then the Saturday is going to be great because I know what song's coming next, so I'm already going to be on my feet dancing to,
and also give you some like new material for your act, or like, you know.
Well, I haven't done a Girls Aloud mega mix yet, but I don't know whether it will probably happen at some point. But there is already like a drag tribute Girls Aloud act.
Oh, I was just going to ask if you do it solo or do you drag some other artists in with you?
Oh, drag as well. Oh, that's actually pretty good. I see what you did there.
Unsure.
Ooh.
But there is already like a Girls Aloud tribute drag act.
Of course is there it is.
They're called Gals Aloud.
Oh, God. Nice. I mean, it's close enough. So. But I'm ready to hear about some acts.
I know, yes. So I was going to say, we're kind of digressing.
You can bring me back on just before Girls Aloud are touring, and we can have a full Girls Aloud show where all the music is Girls Aloud.
No, we can do Alan, that. No, we can't.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, we can.
Do you know why?
Why not?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
I'm going to shut this down now. No. Why? One song, you get one song and that's it.
No, Girls Aloud.
I mean, you're lucky you get one song.
Girls Aloud.
There'll be quite a lot of listeners who like Girls Aloud before you start dissing it. Just because it's not your thing.
I'm not judging.
I will host week, Clara. It'll be a week where you're on.
I think you also need a balance, so I could be there to be the balance, like the tonic.
You just
sit
in the background getting nerd like that.
No, it will be a shout out to the only Girls Aloud fan club.
Shout out aloud.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, anyway, Bristol Pride.
Yes.
Made an announcement, and it was embargoed till Friday, and of course we broadcast on a Thursday, so we couldn't say anything last week.
You couldn't say it. Well, the headliner got announced on Thursday, so you could have announced the cabaret stage headliner. That wasn't embargoed. It was just the full lineup that was.
Cool. Well, we thought we'd wait till you got you in. So and now you're here.
Yeah, because I wasn't here last week.
And you do it in a much better way than we could. Yeah. So.
I was in London.
So for listeners that don't know, Alid, you explained it, because you're a big part of Bristol Pride. You organised one of the big stages there.
Well, it's me and my friends call it the alternative main stage. It's the cabaret stage. It's the second biggest stage at Bristol Pride. I have been coordinating that stage since 2012.
Ooh, damn.
No, I lie. Sorry, 2012 was the first year that I performed at Bristol Pride. Cabaret stage was from 2013.
So just done 10 years last year.
Last year was my 10 year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's why they gave me the hosting spot. A hosting spot on the main stage was like, let's say, thanks to Beaver. She's been asking for years for a main stage.
The cabaret stage has always been amazing. Like, the acts you've got.
It's hugely popular,
like,
isn't it?
So popular. Like, people love it.
Yeah, like, I'd say, you know, there's been times where I think consistently throughout the day that draws a crowd.
Yes.
And it's just because they're singing or lip syncing like songs that everybody knows. They're not doing an album track, which I'm not dissing album tracks, but there's only going to be a certain number of people that are going to know that album track. Whereas you go to the cabaret stage, it is basically just going to be hit. And it's obvious entertainment that people don't need to think about when they're outside having a jolly gay old time. So I've been very lucky.
Do you have to plan the times you have things on? Because obviously people...
Of course I
keep...
have
what
to plan.
What do you mean?
Hang on. Let me finish and I'll explain. Because the main stage obviously has bits where people, like, there's no way in the world they're going to miss it. There's usually like a good couple of acts where people just migrate from everywhere in the park to it. And it must obviously have an impact on your stage. So do you have to plan around that kind of thing, or do you just keep them going the whole way through the day?
There's never a quiet spot on the cabaret stage. I think that's the difference. There's always someone on that stage singing, dancing, or saying something. Like, we never have a stop time. Because we don't need to set up a band and then take that band down and then set up a different band with completely different tech. So there is constant going on. Am I clever in the programming of who I put at what time slot to ensure that performer potentially could get the best crowd that they could? Obviously, I'm going to do that. Mm. So there is a bit of jigging in my part. Like, there's no point me putting on a RuPaul drag queen headliner at the same time as Carly Rae Jepsen.
I knew you were going to say her name.
Because no one's going to come in the way of Carly Rae. Yeah. Like, right. I was already telling my team to shut down that stage so I could go over and watch Carly Rae.
Did you shut down the stage for Carly Rae?
Well, no, the stage was already done, and I was like, there's a couple of us that are going to go in the pit in front of the main stage to go watch Carly. Anybody else who isn't, you are closing this down whilst we're doing this. Like, we've waited all day for Carly Rae, and we went over to Carly Rae. And
to be fair, that wasn't amazing. Run away with me.
One of the best pictures that have ever been taken of me in boy mode at Pride was at Carly Rae. So yeah, there is a bit of meticulous planning that goes on just to ensure, but that's throughout the day because I have such a variation of drag on that stage now. It's not just all live singing. It is lip syncing. It will be kind of like spoken word mashups with those lip syncs. It's not always going to be like bam 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 Proud Mary.
And you do have some of the artists who play instruments as well, don't they?
This year we do, yes. The closer is funnily enough, she closed the main stage last year because she was part of Jake Shear's band. So she's closing the cabaret stage this year, and that's Snow White Trash, who plays the saxophone. And she is probably one of the most talented queens we have on the circuit at the moment. She is insane. And like she always says at the beginning, like everybody thinks that I'm like sax syncing, like I'm lip syncing with a saxophone, like I'm not really playing it, but she's genuinely playing it. And I've been in a bar, whether that's the Two Brewers in London or the Bristol Bear Bar, when she's done a full set, and to not sing a word and just to play an instrument but have the whole bar singing like Titanium by Sia and David Guetta with no like cue cards, and the crowd are just going for it, is something to like, is something to see. It's a talent in itself to be able to command that crowd to sing along to you playing a saxophone, and the whole crowd are just wailing Titanium at you. Wow. or I Will Always Love You is another Snow White Trash classic. And then halfway through she makes a joke about not forgetting to take out the sax solo when she's playing the sax for I Will Always Love You. She's funny, she's entertaining, but she's closing. So yeah, there is a coordination of that stage because I need variety and it needs to kind of feel fresh and flow throughout the day. So yeah, it's not just me putting names on a sheet and in 5 minutes I've done.
How do you find new acts though? Because you've got Dominique Fleek, you've got all these like up and coming, I mean Dominique Fleek's been around for a long time, but like you've got all these new beautiful, wonderful like drag acts coming in. Like how do you select, like, and where do you go and find them?
It's hard. It's really hard. And Bristol over the past, I'd say kind of since we've come out of lockdown, has had this, I feel like there's been some sort of like drag monster in a cupboard under the stairs, just birthing litters of drag babies and drag things and drag kings. So like, luckily the pool of talent I have in Bristol of local talent is a lot. There's just more of them, which makes it in one sense really lucky that I live in a city that has so much talent I can pull from, but then it's that double-edged sword where I'm gonna have to say no to people, or I'm gonna have to not ask people, and it is just kind of carefully curated. I'm on Instagram, I attend certain events that happen in the city. I kind of keep my ear to the ground. It's not just me doing the set list either, like doing the programming. I have like an advisory team. We kind of affectionately call it Judges Houses, where we print off like their Polaroids and then we put them on the table.
Oh,
of course we do. We're gay men. we're camp fags. Do you know what I mean? We're gonna go and roll with it.
Absolutely love that.
So it's not just me, and I will. There's certain people that I know that may have their ear to the ground a bit closer than I do with some acts and with some of the talent. So I tend to float my options with those people, and I tend to like suss out the water and be like, is this kind of okay, or like does this read well? And they're very good and they'll tell me if it is or if it isn't. But it's a hard task. Like I could run that cabaret stage from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. I could have a 2-day cabaret stage and still have to turn around and say no to acts that want a spot on that
which
stage.
Which is a lovely, lovely state to be in, to be fair. It just shows the pull of Bristol Pride.
It's an incredible state. And if you ask like the touring cabaret queens that are on the lineup, you know, and they always get asked, what's your favourite Pride? They'll always say the three B's, and that's Brighton, Birmingham and Bristol. And Bristol got added in there. Like, Bristol is new compared to those other two Prides. And it's been hard work, that cabaret stage. And I remember we were in Castle Park and what only seemed like it was a kind of inflatable bouncy castle.
Yes,
and now we're in up on the Downs.
Yeah.
On a stage which is bigger than some people's bedrooms in flats that I've been in Bristol. I'm like, the amount of space I've got on this stage is ridiculous. So it has grown and it's blossomed.
Yeah, 40,000 people, isn't it?
And it's been amazing. Shall I run through?
Give us an idea who we can look forward to.
So the headliner is the soft and supple US Drag Race star herself, Heidi in Closet. She was on a main season and she'd done an All-Stars. Her All-Stars was quite iconic because she left. Then, she walked out of the competition.
Oh, right.
yeah. And joining her in a headline slot is Pixie Polite. So she's the star of UK Drag Race Season 3. And then this is the year that we've probably got the most local talent that I've ever had. The hosting has changed this year. So all of the hosts on that double, all of the hosts on the cabaret stage are double acts. So there'll be two of them hosting in a little joint little team and they already know who they've got. It's going to be real cute. So we've got Aftershock, who's Bristol based, Alfie Ordinary from Brighton, Azifa Lahore, trans Muslim, drag icon herself, Blue Romantic from Birmingham, Boohoo Man, Claire Delune,